1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. Wonderful chapter. We need to read this more often to encourage ourselves. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says in verse 23, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." And Matthew wrote in Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Save his people from their sins. And for all those he saved, Paul says, afterwards, they that are Christ, we belong to Christ, Brother Roger, at his coming. At his second coming, he's coming for his people. He's coming for his chosen ones. First of all, he's coming for his elect or chosen. Matthew 24:31 says, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." They're going to gather the elect. The Lord's coming for his elect people. Acts 15:7 says, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." God made choice. He chose us. As we see here in Ephesians 1:4, "According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." We were chosen in Christ, and Jesus says he's coming back for those that are his, that are his. 2 Thessalonians says, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." So we see God has a chosen people. They are so described as his sheep. He says in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The Lord's sheep hear his voice, and they will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 13:20, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. He saved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Believers are also the chosen ones. John 6:39 says, "And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." Isn't that encouraging? He said, "Of all that the Father hath given me, I should lose nothing, not even one, but should raise it up again at the last day." Now remember that, because I'll be dealing with this later on. "Shall raise it up," talking about the body, "at the last day." Verse 40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Notice again, "I will raise him up at the last day." In verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Notice how John is emphasizing, Christ is emphasizing, "At the last day I'll raise him up. I'm going to raise up my sheep. I'm going to raise up the believers who follow me. I'm going to raise them up at the last day. And none of them shall be lost." Verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Now, we have everlasting life right at this moment if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Christ said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Shall never die." You say, "Well, look at all the graveyard." Yes, the body dies and goes to sleep, but the soul goes back to the Lord who gave it. We're called the children of God. The children of God. Luke 20:36 says, "Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. We're going to be children of the resurrection when Jesus comes. Because remember, he's coming back for them that are his. That are his. John 11:52 says, and not for that nation only, but that also should gather together in one the children of God which are scattered abroad. In Hebrews 2:13, Paul writing in Hebrews says, again and again I will put my trust in him, and again behold, I, talking about Christ, and the children which God hath given me. God gave children of God to Christ before the world began. We're also called many sons, many sons. Hebrews 2:10 says, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He suffered on our behalf. And he says in Hebrews that we're all of one. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, referring to Christ and his people. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Because we're one with Christ. He's the first fruits. He came out of the grave. And he's coming back again, and we will be brought out of the grave because we're one with Christ. At his coming and appearing, there's coming a day when Jesus is going to return to this world. And beloved, I believe it's hastening very close. Time will be no more as we know it. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, behold, he cometh. Who's coming? Christ Jesus the Lord, with clouds, and every eye shall see him. This won't be some secret event. It'll be manifested. The world will see him coming in glory. That's going to be someday, beloved, when Jesus appears and comes back into the clouds. It's the same way he went up in the cloud. He's coming back, and it says every eye shall see him. What a glorious event that will be as we behold the Lord of glory coming in his power and glory. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And Paul gives the description in 2 Thessalonians, beginning with chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. He's going to be revealed. There's going to be a manifestation of Christ in his second coming with his angels. He's coming with his angels, beloved. What a glorious sight that'll be. But notice verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's coming a day of judgment for the unbeliever. There's coming a day of judgment for those who live in sin and ungodliness. There's coming a day when Jesus is coming as the judge of the world, who shall be punished, verse 9, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Notice that, Brother Roger. He's coming to be glorified in his saints. We're going to be giving him all the glory. Not of us, but unto the Lord is our salvation. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Oh, aren't you longing for the day when you see Jesus face to face? Behold the glory of the Lord. And the beautiful comfort that Paul gave us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. These verses are probably used at every grave site. Are probably used in most funeral services. 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now the part that's asleep is not the soul, but the body. The body is asleep. The body is asleep. All the loved ones that have died to this point, their bodies have been buried in the graveyard. They are asleep in Jesus, waiting for that great getting up morning when the resurrection will come forth and they will come out of the graves, as we're going to see. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Oh, beloved, what a beautiful, beautiful day that will be when we think about that, when we see the Lord. We all shall be changed. I want to close in this message with this thought now. I built this up to show He's coming for His elect. He's coming for the chosen. He's coming for His sheep. He's coming for His children, which God gave Him. He's made redemption. He went back to glory. He's sitting on the right hand of God. One day, the Father is going to say, "Son, go and receive your children." And He's coming back again. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." Now, when He comes, we won't all be asleep. Some will be alive. Some will be in the graveyard. Their bodies will be. Some of us will be alive at His second coming. I hope He comes in our lifetime. Some preacher was asked, where do you want to be when the Lord comes again? He said, "I'd like to be right in the middle of a graveyard and see all the saints open. When the Lord comes, see all those saints come up out of the grave and ascend up into glory." He said, "That'll be something to see." We shall all be changed, Paul says here in the end of this verse, but we shall all be changed. There's coming a change, beloved, for all of God's people. All of us will be changed. We are called a new creation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We are a new creation. When you're born again, you're a new creation. You have a new spirit within you. Beloved, the flesh never changes. You have to have a conflict with the flesh until the day you take your last breath. The old flesh will never change. It's still the old flesh. Yes, you have a new spirit within you, but there's always that conflict between the flesh and the spirit, between the flesh and the spirit. You say, "What should I do if I fall into sin because of the flesh?" Confess it to God. Confess it to God. John says in 1 John, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, there's no person in this congregation this morning who can say that you haven't sinned this week, one way or the other, in word or deed or thought. So we need to be confessing our sins. One man says he was born for one thing, to confess his sins. And when you walk with the Lord in the Word, you realize how short you come. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The closer you get to God, the more sinful you become in your own eyes. So we all need to confess our sins daily. Thank God for the blood that was shed to cleanse us from our sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Beloved, we all need daily cleansing by Christ. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Jesus said He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I say this to encourage some of you who may be struggling with sin in your life, or some areas of your life that seem to boggle you down. Satan uses certain areas of our life to discourage us. Because one thing about sin, when we sin, it discourages us. It breaks our spirit. And that's one of the things Satan wants to do. He wants to break our spirit of confidence. But God has made a way out. And that way out is confessing. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad He put A-double-L there, Brother Roger. All unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. Thank God for that. I just say that this morning to encourage some of you who may be having a battle in your Christian life. We don't talk about these battles to each other. We don't talk about what we have to, in our inward mind, what we have to fight with and deal with. But all of us have a spiritual battle that goes on within that we may never share with someone else. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows. He knows every thought afar off. He knows everything about us. He knows our need. So if you're having a problem in your life, in the area of sin or temptation or something that Satan is really trying to bring you down, go to the Lord with it. Go to the Lord. If any man sin, John says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Oh, beloved, he's able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. Next, we see we're not only a new creation, we've been delivered. He delivered us and translated us. Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? He's delivered us from Satan's kingdom. We've been delivered out of that kingdom of darkness, the wickedness of this world. See, the system of this world is a system of darkness. And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we've been delivered out of the world, and we've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. What a blessing that is. We're not the same anymore, Roger. We are a new creation, and we've been delivered from darkness, and we've been translated into God's kingdom. And as we live our Christian life, what is going on in the process of your Christian life? Why do trials and tribulations come our way? Sometimes we say, boy, it would be wonderful if God just took sin out of our lives, we never sin again. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But God didn't plan it that way. See, sin keeps us humble. Sometimes we think, boy, I'm arriving, I'm getting to, you know, I'm way up here. Roger's way down there. I'm way up here. But the Lord allow you to stumble, allow some lust or something to knock you down, and you'll say, it humbles you. It keeps us that humble spirit that we need to maintain. God teaches us through sin. He can work all things together for our good. Even if we sin, he can take that sin and teach us how it harms us, how it discourages us, and he teaches us to trust in him for his grace and strength. So what's going on? Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, we have been called out of darkness, translated into God's kingdom. We've been called, he says here. And we know all things work together for good to them whom love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We've been called for a purpose. What is that purpose? Here it is. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. We're being conformed. We're being changed. Paul says, I die daily, Brother Roger. What he means, he was being changed daily. He was being conformed to the image of Christ by the things he suffered, by everything that came into his life. God had a process going on where Christ, he was learning to deny himself and to look to God, and he was being conformed to that image, which one day will be completely changed into the image of Christ, as we're going to see. So remember, we're being conformed to the image of Christ. Paul says, to the glory revealed in us. In Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's a glory that's going to be revealed in us. He says you can't compare the sufferings of this world. Now, a lot of people are suffering in this world. There's a lot of suffering. There's spiritual suffering for the cause of Christ. There's physical suffering because of cancer and many of the diseases. There's a lot of stress and perplexities upon people today because of the cares of this world. But he says that cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Paul says, we've been prepared unto glory. In Romans 9:21, and hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? We are have been made unto honor, to honor. And we're obtaining that glory. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." Beloved of the Lord. "Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Verse 14, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ." We are gradually will be obtaining the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see what that is in a few moments. What a wonderful hope we have as the believers. You know, the second coming is called a blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The blessed hope. What a blessing that is. John speaks about when he shall appear. There's coming a day. Now we live every day. And we should be expecting that the Lord may come today. But I know because of the cares of this world, the cares of life, our responsibilities, making a living, doing our things that we need to be doing, our families, our own personal things, that sometimes we lose sight of his coming or his appearing. But we need to remind ourselves there's coming a day when he shall appear. John says in 1 John 3:1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, or the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." But notice this last part. "But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We shall be like him. Remember the verse in Corinthians. "But we all shall be changed." And that's going to happen at his second coming, Brother Roger. In his second coming, we're going to be changed once and for all, beloved. Once and for all, as we're going to see. He prayed in John 17, if you ever read the Lord's Prayer in John 17. It's a beautiful chapter to read. We have a commentary on our website on John 17 by Samuel I. Spears. If you've never read that, I recommend that you read it. It is one of the profoundest books I've ever read on John 17. He prayed in John 17, 24. "Father," he's praying to his Father as the God-man, "I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am." Now, people die, believers I'm talking about, when they die, that is being fulfilled. He prayed that they would be with me where I am. So everyone who dies, a believer, goes to be with the Lord Jesus. "That they may behold my glory." You say, what are the saints doing in heaven right now? They're beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can't fathom what that is. We can just have a little mental thinking of it, what it is, the glory of God shining forth. His glory is the God-man. "That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Everything centers around Jesus Christ. We are being conformed to his image on a daily basis. Trials, tribulations of this world are conforming us unto the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think about these things, beloved, as we live your Christian life, as you come to the house of God, you come to the house of God to hear the preaching of the word. Now, the preacher is to preach what? The word of God. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. So when you come to hear, whether it be myself or Brother Roger or Brother Dave, you're coming to hear a message from the word of God. We're not up here to tell you stories and hymns and fairy tales. We're here to preach the word to you. A minister, if he's worth his salt, he has to preach the word of God. If he doesn't preach the word of God, then he hasn't preached. Whether it be me or Brother Roger or Brother Dave, we have one book to preach from, and it's this book here, the Word of God. Paul said to the Christians, follow me as I follow Christ. And I say to each one of you, follow Roger and Brother Dave and myself as we follow Christ. Thus says the Lord is what you follow. Not my personal opinions, but thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And when Jesus comes, he's going to change our mortal body that we're living in. Philippians is a beautiful verse. Philippians 3:21. When he comes, who shall change our vile body or this mortal body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Notice, he has a glorious body. His body is glorious, or a body of glory. He could appear in the midst of a room and then disappear at will. Because he had a glorified body. He has a glorious body, a body of glory. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Notice this now, I'm going to repeat this, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. At the resurrection, our bodies, if we are not dead, Paul says, we all shall be changed. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be changed. And our bodies will be changed to a glory body, a body of glory. Now, I want you to know one thing. There is none of the saints that died now have a glorified body. That won't happen until the resurrection because their body is still in the grave. But when Jesus comes in the resurrection, when the dead in Christ will rise, that's when their soul will be reunited to their body. Then they will have a glorified body. And the Bible says we shall all be glorified together. There's only one place that can take place, at his second coming. When all the saints of God, the dead, shall be resurrected and receive their glorified body, and we which are alive shall be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, and we will receive our glorified body. Boy, I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to that day, beloved, when time shall be no more, and we shall forever be with the Lord. Note, like his glorious body, a body of glory. First Corinthians, Paul brings this truth out. He says, the first man is of the earth, earthly, talking about Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 48, he says, and as is the earthly, such are they also of the earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have bore the image of the earthly, we all can see our earthly bodies. We have borne that image. We are bearing that image right now. He says, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We, this body, will be changed to a glorified body. Just think about that. No sin. No more sin. No sorrow. No more sickness, sisters. No more sickness. No more sickness, sister. No more pain. The former things are all passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Beloved, there's coming a day when we will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth without the problem of dealing with our sinful nature. There'll be no sinful nature. There'll be no wandering thoughts. We will truly worship God in spirit and in truth. We'll praise him and see him as he is because we shall be like him. We'll have a body of glory. body of glory without sin will be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When you stand before God, you'll stand in His righteousness. Paul says, I don't want to be found in that day in my own righteousness. I want to stand there in the righteousness of Christ. And beloved, that's the prayer of every saint of God. We will stand in glory in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And His glory will be, our bodies will be glorified just like His body. And we will be as perfect as He is in His humanity. A glorified body. Aren't you? No wonder it's, Paul says in Romans 8, we groan, groaning to be delivered from this body of sin. This body will be changed, will be changed. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That's our blessed hope, beloved. That's why we're looking for the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, because we know in that day we shall all be changed, because we are the children of the resurrection, because we are Christ, we belong to Him. He's coming again for them that are His, the believers, when they come. Every eye shall see Him. Oh, what a day that would be. Now notice in 1 Corinthians 15, I want to bring out a few things about this body to show you what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in corruption. This body is sown in corruption. It dies. 3 or 4 days, it stinks. 4 or 5 days, it starts decaying. From dust thou art, from dust thou shalt return. But at the morning of the resurrection, when that trumpet sounds, and time shall be no more, when that last trump blows, Paul says, it is raised in incorruption. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. It's going to be raised from the grave without any corruption anymore. Because it's going to be like Christ. We're going to have a body of glory, a glorified body. Notice verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Talking about the human body. Notice what he says again. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It's going to be a glorified body, Brother Roger. A body of glory. It is sown in weakness. Oh, how weak this frail body is. It's going to be raised in power. We're going to have a body that's sin and death, and all of the diseases can never touch this body again after the resurrection. What a glorious time that will be. Notice verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. We are walking today in a natural body with infirmities, with afflictions, diseases, sickness, has a fallen nature. We have to deal with these things. But one day it says it is raised a spiritual body without all the infirmities of the natural body. We'll have a spiritual body. That's our hope. That's a wonderful hope, beloved, for God's people. Knowing one day all the children of God will be resurrected with a spiritual body, a body of glory like the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 55 of the same chapter. He says, O grave, where is thy victory? He said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of the sin is the law. But remember that Jesus Christ was made the curse of God on the cross. He bore the law that we've broken in His body on the tree. He was made a curse for us, so sin powers, the death powers in sin, but sin has been dealt with by Christ, so sin has no power over God's people because the sting of sin has been removed. He's took the sting out. Oh, hallelujah for the death of Christ. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. From the curse of the law. What a blessing that is. And he goes on to say, O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Where's the victory? We sing that song, Victory in Jesus. We have won the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Therefore, he says, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. The things you do for Christ is not in vain. It's not in vain. If you witness to someone, it's not in vain. You deny yourself, it's not in vain. You live and walk for the honor and glory of God, it's not in vain. You suffer for the cause of Christ, it's not in vain. It's all done for the glory of God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Death is swallowed up in victory. And in the book of Revelation, there's a few thoughts and then we'll close with this. In Revelation chapter 2, in verse 17, a new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. A new name. Chapter 5 and verse 9, a new song. Can you imagine how it's going to be when we stand in heaven, all the saints of God, and we sing to God's glory? I heard a lot of choirs in my days, and some 2,000, some 3, some big crowds, but beloved, think of all the millions of saints in glory in their glorified body and all the host of angels, myriads and thousands of angels, and when all the saints start singing glory to God, what a day that will be. That's our future. That's what we're living for. In this world, we can lose everything overnight. The banks can go broke. A foreign government can take over. We can be persecuted and killed. You can lose everything that you have. What do you have left? You still have God. This happened in many countries, in Russia and China. Over 30 million Christians were killed in Russia. 30 million. In Poland, all the people, that most of them lost their homes, their property, they lost everything. Because of war. Beloved, we are pilgrim and strangers. We're just passing through. Just passing through. So keep that in mind. But we have a new song. Notice what he says. Chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. What a glorious group that's going to be, Roger. From all the world. We'll stand before God and we're going to sing a new song and we're going to give praise to God, the Lord Jesus, that he saved us by his blood. All the nations will be giving him the praise and the glory. Revelation 21. I'm just touching up on some of these things in closing to encourage us for what God has done for us. Notice verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. In verse 5, he says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." True and faithful. Oh, beloved, how beautiful, beautiful that is. True and faithful. And he says in the last few verses of this chapter, Revelation, "He which testified these things saith, Surely I come quickly, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen." We all shall be changed. As I said before, live your life as though Christ wasn't going to come for 500 years. Make your plans, build your homes, do your jobs, things that you do. But also, while you're doing that, live your life as though Christ could come at any moment. That's the balance. That's the balance. Paul warned those over there in one of the epistles, they just quit working, they quit doing anything. "Well, Christ, I'm going to wait till he comes. I'm not going to work." And he rebuked them for that. We are to continue to work and to labor. That's what God gave man to do. But there's coming a day when it all shall end. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for your coming. Thank you for the blessed hope we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. Oh, Father, what a day that will be when we receive our glorified body. A body of glory without sin, without blemish, and without spot. And we'll stand before the throne of God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. All the praise and all the glory and all the honor will be given to him as we sing that new song. The Lord redeemed us out of all the world by his blood and by his redemption. Lord, bless us now as we close the service. In the name of Christ, we do pray and give thanks. Amen. Does someone have a song in closing? 334. May we stand as we sing 334.